Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shooting Lights Out here on this Wednesday afternoon on April 10th, 2024. Your boy's back in the building. Yes, the playmaker's here. And, man, college basketball is over, man. We crowned champions. Not surprisingly, a who won, but we crowned champions. You can't be surprised by that. We have our champions, and I will give you a little bit of NBA talk. I will give you some little NBA talk, but we may have some guests. We may not. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but let's go ahead. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with the women because they finished their things off first. We got some news and notes I want to dive into first. Deja Kelly, the star of the North Carolina Tar Heels, she has decided to enter the transfer portal after what some could say a disappointing season when you go to a school like North Carolina. People expect big things when you go to a school like that. It's a pretty rough year for those Tar Heels, one of them Lady Tar Heels. So Deja Kelly is deciding to transfer. It'd be interesting to see where she's go and where she's going to play her next season at. But it's been a lot of that going on, not just in the men's side, but on the women's side as well. So, Deja Kelly transferring out of North Carolina. We'll see where she lands at. Women's title game, most watched since 2019. The women's national championship game, most watched since 2019. And I will dive more into that later on when we talk about diving deep into the national championship game. Then we're going to talk about the men's, how it compared to the men's national championship game, which is interesting. It's very interesting to say that women's sports is starting to take off. It really has. So we got some numbers for you, but that's a little later on in the show. So just want to keep you aware of that. So let's dive into the Final Four that took place on Friday, this past Friday. And, well, I can tell you this. NC State ran into a buzzsaw of North Carolina. And then we got the matchup that we wanted to see, Paige Becker versus Clayton Clark, which one of those two was going to show up and be that force for their team to get them to the national championship game. Let's dive a little deeper into it. First, NC State, South Carolina, almost a 20-point win for the Gamecocks when they were just dominant. Aziza Miss Jackson, 20 points, 6 for 17, 3 for 10 from the field. It was just one of them games. NC State shot 32% from the field, 26% from three. When you're shooting like that, it's hard to beat the team like South Carolina. It just is, okay? There's no beating the South Carolina. And Camilla Cardoza, 22 points, 10 for 12 from the field, 11 boards, another double-double to go along with her illustrious career that she has had in South Carolina. And the Gamecocks, they shot 50% from the field, 42% from three. And look, that's how that happens. I don't know what to tell you. It's just one of those days. So South Carolina, Don Studley, they're in the title game. They got past the point where they went last year. But who do they get to face in the national championship? The lady that knocked them out in the Final Four last year. Caitlin Clark, who was able to get past UConn 71-69 in a game that we all knew and felt would be a highly contested game. A game where we wanted to see Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark go at each other, see who will be on top, who would be the top dog. And it turns out it would be Caitlin Clark's team in the Iowa Hawkeyes. Hayes Becker, 17 points, along with Leah Edwards with 17 points. Caitlin Clark had 20, but Hannah Sakila Stugia had 23 points.
What a game by her. I think that was a career high for her, if I remember correctly. She was
able to make some things happen. Caitlin Clark was able to find her when she needed to. And it was a great game by them. And there is a call, however, that's been buzzing social media on Friday night into Saturday morning. That is the call of offensive foul on Aaliyah Edwards on a moving screen. There's people out there that said that was the right call. There's others said that was a bad call. I was one of those that didn't like the call. And here's why I didn't like the call. They weren't calling that most of the game. They was letting that go. So if you was letting it go from the first quarter to the third quarter, why is you calling it now? Like that's just my take on it. Like, you don't let these ladies or these athletes play physical basketball already up to that point, and then you call that. You don't do that. Now, if you would have caught it in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and there was an emphasis on that, totally different conversation I'm having here. But for you to call that, I mean, that's just wrong. You should have called it. Like, you shouldn't even call it. But y'all called it. It happened. And, you know, even with that call, UConn was not done. It was not done. So they had to foul Caitlin Clark. You still had a timeout. Caitlin Clark missed the first free throw to go up two, but made it 71-69. It's the final score that you see. And she misses the second free throw. But UConn didn't box out. And Ira got the offensive rebound off a free throw. Now, I can be upset with the refs because I ain't like the certain call. But UConn, y'all didn't box out on a missed free throw. I have more issues with that than that call, even though more people have more issues with the call. My thing is, how do you not box out on a missed free throw? If you box out, get the rebound, call timeout, you advance the ball. You have like three seconds left. You have plenty, you have a time to get a shot off to win the game. Some people say, oh, probably 1 second. It's somewhere in between 1 to 3 seconds. But if they were to box out, call a timeout, you advance the ball, you in your side of the court to inbound the ball, catch and shoot, it can possibly happen. You got Pace Beggars, who's good at it. But not boxing out on a missed free throw was the final nail in the coffin for UConn. Granted, people going to limelight the offensive foul calling Aaliyah Edwards because how you people like myself out there, he said, how you make that call in that typical game, especially to me when you didn't call it most of the game anyway. You let the girls play. You let the girls have their way, do what they need to do. You didn't. It wasn't light. The game was chippy. It wasn't chippy. It wasn't intense. They was out there playing good hard nosed basketball in the Final Four. So you let them play. And then you call that out of all the calls in the world. You call that at that moment in time. That's why I didn't like the call. Can you say it was right or what? I don't like the timing, though. If you didn't set the precedent for you to have that call during the other three quarters, don't do it now. Nevertheless, my bigger issue is the fact that UConn let Iowa get a rebound, get an offensive rebound on a missed free throw, which pretty much sealed the deal for them. Because you get an offensive rebound, you got a timeout left. You have a timeout. And those of you who don't think they had a timeout and didn't have a chance, go back and watch it. Look when the offensive foul occurred, look how much time left, and look and see if UConn had a timeout. You will see UConn had a timeout. They box out. They get the rebound. They call timeout straight away. They advance the ball to their side of the court. So you have time to get a shot off. It's Gina Auriemma we're talking about here. You don't think he can come up with a shot with 1 second left? I believe he can. You only down two. A two-pointer tie sends it overtime. A three-pointer wins you the game, sends you to the national championship game. But UConn didn't box out on the free throw.
Final nail in the coffin. Caitlin Carr made it back to the next championship game with Iowa for the second consecutive year in a row, where she looked to avenge that loss, even though she did beat LSU in the Elite Eight. But she hoping to get over that hump. Unfortunately, the team that she has to go against is the team that she knocked out in the Final Four last year, and who they want they payback, which they got. To seal a perfective season, South Carolina, Sunday afternoon, took down Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, 87-75. A 12-point victory for Don Staley and the Gamecocks. Great win for them. Caitlin Clark, 30 points, 10-28. 5-13 from the three-point line. She had 8 points. She had 5 assists. Y'all look at the fact that she had 30 points. Dude, you know what I look at? It took her 28 shots to get to 30. Shout out to Raven Johnson, because she showed that what happened to her last year and what Caitlin Clark disrespected her on the court. The disrespect that Iowa and Caitlin Clark showed Raven Johnson last year, when they didn't care nothing about her last year on the court, which was true. She put in that work in the offseason. She ended up getting back to the national championship game. She got to see Caitlin Clark again. And she picked Caitlin Clark off several times the next year. She stole the ball from Caitlin Clark. I'm like, wow. Raven Johnson was on one when she saw 22 in black, which I love seeing. When you get disrespected the way Raven Johnson disrespected, what do you do if you meet them again? Raven showed it. She was like, I'm ready this time. Y'all would not disrespect me the way that y'all disrespect me last year. They're going to see how many steals she got. Because she, I won't be surprised if she had like 5 steals. Because she was picking Caitlin Clark. She was picking Caitlin Clark in pockets. That girl was on a mission. And what a mission that was on. Raven Johnson, she came away 4 steals. All 4 on Caitlin Clark. Want to know why it took 28 shots for Caitlin Clark to get to 30? Raven Johnson. Shout out to Teresa Johnson, as well the other Johnson, who had 19 points, who came off the bench, hit half of her 3 points, 3-for-6, and made it an emphasis. She was part of the reason why South Carolina had, I believe, 38 bench points, the most bench points in that national championship game in women's college basketball, 38. She came off the bench. She was ready to play. And then Camila Cardoso. 17 rebounds from Camila Cardoso, who is going to the WNBA, by the way, along with Caitlin Clark. 17 rebounds. She had more rebounds than she had points. First of all, the fact that you had more rebounds than you had points showed that you was on boards regardless. You didn't care if you scored or not, because you were going to make sure you got them rebounds. By having probably was offensive rebounds. Of the 17 rebounds Cardoza had, she had 7 of them was offensive and 10 was defensive. Don Staley and South Carolina came with a game plan that says, we're bigger than them. We're more physical than them. We're going to put it on display. And then when we get open shots, we're going to knock them down. 38 bench points. That's all you got to say. Talking about shots being made. They had 38 bench points. Being the bigger and physical than Iowa, Camila Cardoza got 17 rebounds by herself. 17. With 7 of them on the offensive side. Like that, Kate's got 10 rebounds. That's 27 by the big girls from Cardoza and Kits on the inside in the inside for South Carolina. I mean, they made an emphasis. They were getting rebounds. They made an emphasis. They out rebounded Iowa. Let me see. 51-29. Just dominated the boys. That's what you got to do. Limit Iowa's possession. Limit Clayton Carr's possession. And you see what happened. So shout out to Don Staley and South Carolina. Speaking of Don Staley, South Carolina winning that title. That's their third title under Don Staley, okay? Remember that I showed earlier? Most watched women college basketball game on record since 1992. 18.7 million people watched Iowa, South Carolina Sunday afternoon. Marvelous, marvelous job for the ladies. That is big numbers. Viewership up 89% from 2023. 285% increase in 2022. Okay? from the two most recent women's national championship games. That's ridiculous. They peaked at 24 million viewers at one point. Probably at the beginning of the game or towards the end. You know, people want to say, okay, they playing. Cool. Watch some of this before they do what they got to do. Because it was WrestleMania Sunday, too. So, you know, just that. Most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or pro since 2019. That's excluding football and the Olympics. Most watched sporting event since 2019. If you don't believe me or anybody else that's telling you that the women's game is on the uptick, this should tell you right there. But just so you don't believe it, wait till I recap the men's, and then you will see where I mean by if you don't think the women's game is on the uptick. Oh, it's definitely on the uptick. Okay. Nevertheless, that's where we at. Shout out to the ladies. Y'all put on a very fabulous show. And it's been great to watch. Season has lived up more than expectations for the women's game. But speaking of South Carolina, third national championship game, 2017-2022. And then this past Sunday, 2024. Perfect season, 38-0. That's Don State's third championship as the coach of South Carolina. In the 16th season, she's been the coach of South Carolina. She has won 440 games and only lost 106. That is an 80.5 win percentage. She's winning 8 out of 10 games during her 16-year career coaching South Carolina. She's winning 8 out of 10, meaning she's only losing 2 out of 10 games. For every 10 games, she's only losing 2 of them. That says a lot. In the past 4 seasons under Don Staley, the Gamecocks are 135-8 in the past 4 seasons. That is a 94.4 win percentage. Don Staley is making her case to be arguably the greatest women's basketball coach there is. She could be in the conversation for college period at this moment in time, the way that she's rocking and rolling right now. She tied Vanderveer for 3, and I'll get to her in a minute because she announced her retirement. But no, I'll get to her now. Yep. Miss Vanderveer, she retired from coaching. 38 years of coaching, I believe most of it, not all of it, was at Stanford. Three-time national champion. She has a great career. Proud of Vanderveer and what she did for women's basketball. But she knew the winningest coach in college basketball right now, by the way, if we don't know that. She is retiring as the winningest coach in college basketball. So the fact that she has done what she feels like she needed to do, and it's time for her to step away. So, Coach Vanderveer, thank you for what you've done at Stanford and for women's college basketball. Hope you enjoyed your run. Hope you enjoy whatever you do afterwards. And then Camilla Cardoso in her final year at South Carolina averaged 14.4 points a game, gave you 9.7 rebounds a game, and gave you 2.5 blocks a game. I mean, South Carolina was dominant. What else do you want? So, congratulations to the victors. And then finally, before we close out the first part of this show, got to talk about Caitlin Clark. What a stellar career. The amount of accomplishment that this young lady has is very too long for me to list. So I just went ahead and picked out some major ones that will probably catch your eyes, okay? Caitlin Clark, the all-time NCAA Division I scoring leader. That's men's and women's. Most 30-point games in the NCAA Division I in 25 years. Most career assists in the NCAA tournament, men's and women's. Most 3-point field goals in the NCAA tournament history. 3 40-point tournament games, most in tournament history. Most career 3-point field goal in Division I history. 2-time Naismith Player of the Year, back-to-back years, 2023 and 2024. Most career NCAA tournament points. All-time Big Ten scorer and assist leader. Big Ten career for 3-pointers. First
Division One female athlete to score 1,000 points. I'm missing a zero in multiple seasons. She scored 1,000 points last season. She scored 1,000 points this season. Sorry for the graphic mark. I'm missing a zero. That should be 1,000. And she's a two-time AP Player of the Year. She has a lot more accomplishments than that, but these are the ones that I wanted to focus on because you cannot deny what this woman has done for basketball, for women's basketball. Caitlin Clark has been nothing short of phenomenal in her 4 years at Iowa. As she transitions over to the WNBA, preparing to be the first overall pick in the WNBA, and then on top of that, getting ready for the Olympics, because I got a feeling Caitlin Clark will be a part of the Olympics team for the women's side as we get ready to go to Paris. That is coming up too. Don't forget about that. But to watch her basketball career in college, it's nothing short of remarkable. Every accolade she got, she earned it. It wasn't given to her. She earned it. Okay? The way she shoots the ball, her vision on the court. You can't, if you say anything bad about Caitlin Clark, you're a hater. Okay? You're just a hater. Because what this woman has done, she has elevated women's basketball to heights it has never been elevated before. Dude, go, let's go back. Remember, we're talking 18.7 million people watched this the national championship game. That broke the previous record of last year when she was in the national championship game against LSU. And then when she met LSU in the Elite Eight, that had, I believe, what, about 15 million views? And then the Final Four against UConn and Pace Beckers, we're talking 16 views, 16 million? Every time this woman stands on the court, viewership goes up. Everywhere she played at, it was sold out. When they went early in the season, they went down to Charlotte, North Carolina for a little classic game against Georgia A-more and the Virginia Tech Hokies. That place was sold out. When they had the Big Ten Conference Championship in Minnesota, sold out. Every game in Hawkeye Arena, sold out. When they took the trip to Albany, sold out. When they went to Cleveland, sold out. Caitlin Clark's done it. And guess what? By the way, just to let y'all know one something about Caitlin Clark, the Indiana Fever, and I heard this on the Pat McAfee show today, 36 of the 40 games that Indiana's going to play will be nationally televised because they are picking Caitlin Clark. Last year, the Indiana Fever, who picked Aaliyah Boston number one overall, had one game nationally televised during the WNBA season. One game last year. 36 of the 40 games, based on the fact that Indiana's going to draft Caitlin Clark number one overall, would be nationally televised just because they can put Caitlin Clark on national TV. Literally, Caitlin Clark is that remarkable. They ain't say nothing about the Aces, who are the two-time reigning defending national champions. They ain't say nothing about the Liberty, who bringing all their starters back. You talking about John Correa Jones, Breanna Stewart, and Sabrina Ionescu, the big three there. We don't even know what's going to happen in free agency yet, where all the changes are going to happen. But Indiana Fever, who has been back-to-back number one picks overall, going to have 36 of their 40 games nationally televised because they're going to draft Caitlin Clark number one overall. Number one overall. I heard this on the Pat McAfee show. I felt like I should reiterate it. Just what this woman has done for women's basketball, you can't deny it. You can't deny it. And not only that, think about this. If she does that for a team in the WNBA, let's not forget Camilla Cardoza is going to be in that draft class. Cameron Brink's going to be in that draft class. Aaliyah Edwards going to be in that draft class. Angel Reese is going to be in that draft class. You see the name? The names is coming. Juju Washington will come, but she's a freshman. You know, Flo J. Johnson will come, but she's only a sophomore. So the names are coming to the W. They cannot mess this up. So when Caitlin Clark gets drafted, it's going to be interesting to see where everybody else gets drafted because the WNBA is going to be fired. I'm telling you right now, the WNBA is going to be fired. That's all I got to say on that.
Let me take a break right here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take our first break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the men's Final Four and National Championship game and how they done. We'll be back.
Transported to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals with Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Family Stallones, and the hit series Halo. The new streaming home or Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99, but if you subscribe today, you get a free trial. Paramount Plus, Mounts of Entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much. And you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. You know, man, this crazy about the man. Snowman's in the building. What's up, Snowman? How you doing, sir? You know, good to see you. Good to hear from you. You know, hey, do you want to? I was going to ask you if you want to come on and talk about Caitlin Clark real quick and what she's done to the women's game, but we'll talk about this some other time. So we got the women out the way. But I'm not done talking women because when I talk about the men, we're going to see why the women's game is on the uptick because let's talk about the men's, okay? The men's Final Four, it's going to be an interesting one, but some news notes from the men's side. Indiana star Robbie Avila is into the transfer portal. I'm interested to see where he's going to go. Where he's going to go? Because he had all his nicknames, Kareem, Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd, you know. He was the bright star in at Indiana State. Now, I was one of the ones that felt like they should have been in the tournament.
But when you have a team like NC State, Oregon Ducks, New Mexico Lobos, you know, teams like that who weren't even considered to be in the tournament that's going to run and win their conference tournament. Yeah, a team, unfortunately, a team like Indiana State who won almost 30 games leading up to the tournament selection committee just can't get in. And despite they losing their championship game to, I believe, Drake. I can't remember who they lost to. But not winning their conference tournament does hurt as well because that's an automatic bid. So we have like five automatic bids going to teams who weren't even considered for the tournament. So that's how Indiana State didn't make it. They had a great run in the NIT, but came up short against Seton Hall. So I'm interested in seeing where Mr. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will go next year. And see, I want to see, does he go to a big school? Does he stay with the small schools? Where he's going to go? Because I want to know how he played this year. Can he translate that up to the big boys next season? I'm looking forward to that, you know. I'm looking forward to see, can he duplicate what he did at a small school like Indiana State and he take it up to the where the big boys at, you know, maybe Indiana. Maybe the Hoosiers can use him since he loves Indiana. Stay in the Big Ten, you know, rock with the Big Ten, like a new Big Ten that's going to feature, you know, UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington next year. And by the way, all the conference realignments will go into official effect July 1st. When July gets here, that's when all the conference realignments take into effect, okay? We're talking, I just told you the Big Ten. We're talking OU and Texas coming to the SEC. You got Utah, Arizona State, Colorado coming to the Big 12, okay? I believe Stanford's going to the ACC, if I remember correctly. Only Washington State and Oregon State is the only teams left for the Pac-12. There's going to be a lot of conference realignments coming up, and when July gets here, it goes into effect immediately. So remember that. Mark it on your calendar or make a note to yourself. July is when all the conference realignment officially takes place. All right. Let's go to another topic. John Calipari. Talking about something that you didn't see coming. I did not see him leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. First of all, I ain't seen him leaving Kentucky at all, period. You know, Kentucky wasn't going to fire him. They was like, all right, it is what it is, but we'll keep it moving. So that's the first surprise. The first surprise is you leaving Kentucky, okay? I didn't expect you to leave Kentucky. I didn't. I really didn't. Then the other surprise is for Arkansas out of all teams. Now, shout out to Aaron Musselman, who left Arkansas to go to the USC Trojan, University of Southern Cal, who will be coaching in the Big Ten next year. So I know that had something to do with it. I know that for a fact it has something to do with it. Otherwise, he'll have stayed but in Arkansas. We wouldn't be having this conversation right now. But nevertheless, John Calipari going to Arkansas, that threw me all off. Him leaving Kentucky but threw me off anyway. But what really threw me off the rail was him going to Arkansas. Like, wait a minute. I did not see this coming. Okay? And he goes on, he does a video, I believe, he posted it on social media, I guess. He did a video saying it's been a beautiful time for us. This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and says, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we come to realize that the program probably needed to hear another voice. The fans needed to hear another voice. We loved it here. But we think it's time for us to step away and stepping away completely from the program. This is what John Calipari said in the video. He felt it was time that the Kentucky Wildcats had a new voice, a new face of their basketball program. I mean, he'd been there for 15 years. Okay? He'd been there for 15 years, and the last 4 or 5 years have not been Kentucky-like, okay? 1-5 in your last 5 tournament games, getting upset in the first round 3 times. That includes this year when you got knocked off by Oakland, a 14 seed. A 13 seed, my bad. 13. I mean, it's just something that you didn't see coming. But you gotta, but with everything that's happened in the last years with Kentucky and John Calipari, something just wasn't clicking. You kept getting one and done. And then 2 years ago, when you did have a team that was a little more seasoned, you still got ousted early. So it was just, I believe John Calipari was right. I think it was time for Kentucky to get a new voice. Going to Arkansas is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see when he got to make that trip back to Rupp Arena next season for the first time. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see in that. But I hope he does well at Arkansas. I believe he's going there on a 5-year, $7 million deal. I believe, if I remember correctly. So we shall see. But, man, that threw me all off. I did not expect Calipari to be leaving Kentucky, but he is. So shout out to you and see what you do in Arkansas. And we'll be watching for that first visit to Rupp Arena when it comes. Let's keep it moving right along here. Let's see. Oh, yep. It is 5-year deal. Because they didn't know what kind of deal it was. So, yeah, they made it 5 years, $7 million. It's not bad, but you got to look where you at. You got to realize what you're doing and figure out what's going on. Because I didn't, like, really. That threw me all off. But we shall see what's going on, how it goes from there. And keep it moving. And keep it moving. All right. Let's go to our next one. So here's something that's been captivating the internet a bit with Bronny James deciding to not only enter the transfer portal, but put his name in the NBA draft. Very interesting here. And I believe that he's done that because other people guys told him you could possibly get drafted because of what LeBron James said, like he wants to play with his son, and there's a lot of teams who take that to heart. Now, I gotta say this before I continue on. There's been a lot of criticism towards Bronny James, unfairly, by the way, definitely unfairly, because when you look at his numbers, like what he averaged, what 5 points. 5 rebounds, you know, not really numbers that you expect from a superstar father like LeBron James. Here's the thing that I believe people forgot. This man almost died. Okay? I need people to realize that. Like, this man almost died. Okay, he didn't get to have a offseason with his teammates. Okay, he didn't get to have an offseason. That man literally almost died before the season started. So I wasn't expecting Bronny James to come out and do whatever that people was expecting him to do. And I tend to think people forget that. I think people forget that this man had a serious health issue to the point where you need to step back and like let this season be what it is, because to be honest, you need to be playing this season. But we did get to the point where you were able to play. You got the all clear from the doctors to play, so we should be thankful for that. But this man almost died. So that's why I wasn't putting any stock into what was going on this season, because I'm good. Now, come back next year, get you a full off season, and then let's go from there. But this year, I was like, no. Mm-mm. Nope. Because look, this man could not be playing. He literally could have had a point where he couldn't be playing basketball because of health issues. So I wasn't putting too much stock in this season. I just wasn't. I wasn't going to do it. But we're going to see what he does, because there are reports around that defensively, he's NBA ready, defensively. Which kind of says something, okay? In a in the day and age when we criticize the NBA for not playing defense.
You saying LeBron's defense is NBA caliber type of defense makes you wanna really think about, do I want to go ahead and get into this draft class, you know? Because y'all telling me my defense is at NBA level. But for me, personally, I would like Bronny to do another year. Give me another year of college. Just give me another year of college, okay? I want you to have a full offseason. I want you to be able to get that continuity with the new teammates, get that full offseason workout and all that good stuff with no health issues. And then let's see what you do for a full season, okay? Let's see what you do for a full season. And outside of that, good. Now, if you do what you said, if you do what people thought you were going to do next year that you didn't do this year, you can go straight to the NBA. But for me personally, I want Bronny James to do one more year. Give me one more year. One more year of college. Just one more. And then we'll go from there. Just give me one more year. That's all I ask. Just give me one more year. All right? That's all I got to say on that. Now, NCAA men's basketball final ratings up, but fall short of the women. Remember I told you the ladies did 18.7. I think the men's did like 16, if I remember correctly. Let me get the right number, okay? Because that's why I told you the women's game is on the uptick. Y'all better pay attention. If you ain't paying attention now, you better start paying attention, because they not messing with the ladies. They not. The ladies have come to take over. And I can't be mad about it. Because, hey, what can I say? When you're doing 18 million and your counterparts, the males, are doing only 16, ladies, stick your chest out. Stick your chest out. Feel good about yourself, because y'all outdid the men, and it wasn't even close. And it wasn't even close how well the ladies did the men. Now, the men, they got their ratings up because, hey, it was interesting. You didn't know what to expect. When you have unpredictability, it makes everything better, because it's like, we don't know what's going to happen. Everybody's getting beat. UConn lost 3 games this year. The last one that they lost, they got blown up the building. Wow. Purdue. More people thought with Purdue. But Purdue tried to beat Purdue. They thought it was going to be Virginia. So, there's interesting stuff happening right now. But hey, good shout out to the ladies. But the men's, y'all coming back. Speaking of men's, get to the Final Four. From Saturday when we had Purdue versus NC State. Zach Edey going against DJ Burns, see how that goes, how that went. And then Alabama going against UConn. We're going to dive into that. So let's start with DJ Burns and Zach Edey, the showdown. 63-50 win for the Purdue Boilermakers. DJ Hearn led the way for NC State with 20 points, 8 for 21 from the field, 2 for 8 from 3-point range with 6 rebounds. DJ Burns Jr., terrible game, man. 8 points, 4 from 10 from the field, 1 rebound, no assists. DJ Burns had a hard time dealing with the Zach Edey. Had a hard time trying to make things happen. You know, had a hard time making anything happen against Zach Edey. Zach Edey, 20 points, 9 for 14 from the field, 12 boards. Lance Jones, 13 points, 5 for 12 from the field, 4 for 9. NC State shot 37% from the field and 26% from 3. That's going to get you beat in the Final Four. Rob Perdue shot 40% from the field and 40% from 3. I mean, that tells you all you need to know. One team was 40 for 40. What do you mean? One team was 40 and 40. But the other team was 37 and 26. Yeah, we know what numbers like that. We know what team won. We just know what team won. All right? We just know. Then we have Alabama versus UConn. And don't let the score fool you, okay? Yes, UConn won by 14. But damn it, that game was closer than you think, okay? That game was much closer. It was so close to the fact that even Alabama led for almost half of the first half. I was like, UConn is really trailing points. And then the second half came about, and you can see what they did in the second half. Outscored Alabama by 10, and you win by 14. Mark Shears for the guard for Alabama, 24 points to lead the way, 9 for 14 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3, 5 board. Grant Nelson had him a decent game, 19 points, 7 for 16 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3, 15 rebounds. The fact that he even got 15 rebounds says a lot. How you get 15 rebounds against UConn? That's what I want to know. You by yourself got 15 rebounds. That's good. That's real good. Nevertheless, Stephon Castle for UConn, 21 points, 7 for 13 from the field, 2 from 3 from the 3-point range, getting down 5 rebounds. Donovan Keegan, 18 points, 5 boards. All 5 starters for UConn scored in double figures. All 5 of them. I don't know how you beat UConn. I just don't know how you beat UConn. Like, if you can't shoot the lights out. And the funny thing is, ever since that Creighton game, I noticed what Dan Hurley has done. Ever since that Creighton game, Dan Hurley has put emphasis on defending the 3-point line, because Creighton shot the lights out on them and whooped their ass and sent them out the gym. And ever since then, no team can shoot the ball like Creighton did. No team can shoot the ball like Creighton did. Think about that. Ever since that, see, that's why Dan Hurley is making himself one of the top coaches in college basketball right now. Because he took a weakness and he put emphasis on that weakness from that point forward. A weakness was y'all got dog walked by Creighton because they shot stupid from 3. Ever since then, you ain't shooting 3s. If you're going to make it, you're going to make them with hands in your face. And if you make them, we'll just live with it. Outside of that, you ain't shooting no 3s. And that's what happened. So you had Purdue trying to finish the redemption story against the team that's trying to go back-to-back. And we already know this. This happened Monday night, even though we had to do something about this 9:20 time tip-off. Why are we tipping the game off at 9:20? Why are we tipping the game? A national championship game is being tipped off at 9:20. 9:20. Now, I get it. That's 6:20 on the West Coast, but 9:20 on the East Coast. We ain't going to finish watching that game on the East Coast. By the time that game's over, it's about 12 o'clock. Most people in bed trying to get ready for work in the morning. On a Monday, especially on a Monday night. This ain't even a Sunday night. We're talking a Monday night. And your tip-off is 9:20. That's stupid. Make it 8:20. It's 5:20 on the West Coast. 8:20 on the East Coast. Not bad. You can get most people to get past the first half. Maybe get them watch some of the second half, if not all of it, was that damn good of a game. Nevertheless, 9:20. But you say, hey, you did good, though. You got the ratings went up. So I can't complain. The ratings went up. But still, 9:20, you probably could have had better numbers if you did it an hour early, maybe an hour and 30 minutes early. Just throwing that out there, okay? I know you want the West Coast people to get some viewing shit going on out there, but I'm pretty sure 5:30 ain't a bad time for them. 5:30, maybe 4 o'clock. I can see why traffic and all that stuff, especially out in LA. But you're killing your East Coast people. I don't know you want to do that. Because we need to figure out a good timing for both West and East Coast, okay? That's all I'm saying. We need to find a good time in that way everybody can have a chance of watching it. Because that 9:20 tip-off, and then it wasn't even a 9:20 tip-off. It says 9:20 tip-off, but you got to go through the starting lineup. You got to go through the national anthem, all this other stuff. By the time you really tip off, you're looking at close to 9:30 tip-off, 9:40. You really putting the East Coast to bed then. But nevertheless, hey, numbers went up. Can't complain. Zach Edey, 37 points, 15 for 25, 10 boards. Brandon Smith, 12 points, 4 for 12 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, 8 assists. Caveat. You want to know how good UConn is? Brandon Smith is the only Purdue player to have an assist. Look, you're not misreading that. Brandon Smith is the only player on Purdue that had an assist. So how many assists Purdue had? 8. How many assists Brandon Smith had? 8. Good Lord have mercy. Wow. Only one person on your team can have assists. That's some top level defense from the opposing team. Okay. Purdue shot 44% from the field, but only 14% from 3. Good Lord have mercy. They only took 7 threes in a 40-minute game, and you only took 7 three-pointers. This is UConn defense we're talking about here. This is how lethal the UConn's defense is. Purdue only took – Brandon Smith had more assists than the Purdue team had threes taken. I want y'all to think about that. Brandon Smith by himself had more assists than the entire Purdue team took threes. That is ridiculous. But that's what UConn does. Tristan Newton for UConn, 20 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. Tristan Newton had the same amount of assists as Purdue had 3 pointers taken. Stephon Castlefield, 10 points, 5 boards, and Purdue went back to back. So I want y'all to really pay attention to how dominant UConn is for the past 2 years, not just 1-2. Okay. I want y'all to pay attention to this. Huskies dominance. I made this slide specifically for you to show you how dominant the UConn Huskies are. Back-to-back national champions, the first back-to-back national champion since the 2006 and 2007 Florida Gators. Yes, that's my little Gators bias for today. You know, Joe Kim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer, Lee Humphrey, and Torian Green. Yes, that was the starting five. We had Chris Richardson coming off the bench. That's the sixth man. Okay. I'm just saying. Just throwing that out there. This second one, though. In this NCAA tournament, this one right here that just finished, Purdue had a point differential of 140. 140 point differential in this NCAA tournament. That is the best ever. If you add all the points from what UConn scored against all their opponents from the round of 64 all the way down to the next championship, it is plus 140 UConn. The average margin of victory is 23.3 points per game in the tournament. And then, you know, the crazy thing is, there's the fun in between it, the one that I skipped. They never trailed in the second half at all. Never trailed in the second half at all. I'll give you some more. Want to tell you some more dominance? 2 tournaments worth of dominance. UConn has won every single tournament game from 2023 to 2024. Every single NCAA tournament game by double digits. Oh, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to show you. I got the graphic. I'm going to prove it to you. And by the way, every time UConn makes the next championship game, they win every last one of them. This past Monday night was their 6th time being the next championship game. They are 6-0. If they get there, they're winning it. If they get there, they're winning. There's no way to it. But let me show you the dominance of the last 2 tournaments. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to 2023, okay? The one on the left. They beat Iona, who was coaching by Rip Tino at the time. They beat them by 24. Then around 32 against St. Mary's, they beat them by 15. And then the Sweet 16 against Arkansas, they beat them by 23. They won the Elite 8 over Gonzaga by 28. They beat Miami in the Final Four by 13, and they beat San Diego State in the championship game by 17. That was last year. Let's go to this tournament that they just won. Round of 64 against Stetson, 39 points. Northwestern, Wildcats, 17. San Diego State, a rematch of the national championship game for the previous year, they beat them by 30. The Elite 8 against Illinois, they won by 25, and that's the game, ladies and gentlemen. That is the game
where they went on a 30-0 run. That's the game, the Elite Eight game. That's when they went on a 30-0 run. That it went from 23-23 to 28-23 to 53-23. Yeah, that game. The Final Four, even though Alabama gave them their hardest push, they ended up winning by 14. And then the next championship game, what we just talked about, they won by 15. That is two whole tournaments. Every single game ended with UConn winning by double digits. No less than 13. That was last year's tournament. This year's tournament, they was no less than 14. I don't know what to tell y'all. Like, the dominance of UConn is ridiculous, okay? It's just ridiculous how dominant they are. And shout out to Dan Hurley. You're making yourself a whole name right now. Back-to-back national champions. Complete dominance in back-to-back tournaments. Just killing everybody. Just destroying team spirits in the second half. Don't even want the other team to even play no more. So shout out to Dan Hurley and UConn. Okay, shout out Dan Hurley, UConn. Just dominance, okay? All right, with that being said, I'm gonna take another break, a final break here, and then I'm gonna do some NBA talk real quick because now that college basketball is done, well, let's get ready for the NBA playoffs. We'll be back.
Boston, I love you, you morons. New Kids on the Block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
This little right here. Look at the inside of these cakes. Now, when you bite into it, just as I demonstrated while you were talking the beginning of your discussion right there, I could taste the drugs inside of this cake, Sick. I could taste the addiction within the cream filling of this cake right here, to where they not only just with that cake right there, but they made an ice cream out of it. They made an ice cream out of it. A one pint Christmas tree cake ice cream. Look at that little just smile up there. Look, she is up to no good on there. Look at that. Look at that smile on there, Sick. She knows that she got you. Got him is what's in her mind right now.
Acknowledge me.
Look at that little smile right there. She's up to no good.
D. Willie in the evening. Thursdays at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, 10:15 p.m. Central. Exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beasts, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, and the hit series Halo. The new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family. And create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99, but if you subscribe today, you'll get a free trial. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out, and we're gonna end it off with talking some NBA. So, We're going to go ahead and get you out of here real quickly. So let's get into it right now. All right. Giannis Antetokounmpo avoided serious Achilles injury. He got injured last night in the game against Boston, which I'll dive into a little bit later. But, man, he avoided a significant injury. So he has a calf injury. Probably going to hold him out for the rest of the season. There are only like 3 games left. Hopefully, whoever they play in the first round, hopefully they get somebody that Milwaukee can probably get by without Giannis. But thankfully, Giannis avoided a serious injury to a large half of his body. So that's good to know. Keep moving on. Trae Young, 2 injuries that look like it's going to be good to go. So we got Trae Young, who's looking to return as soon as tonight. And then Carl Anthony Towns for the Minnesota Timberwolves looking to return this weekend. So Trae Young's trying to return tonight. Carl Anthony Towns looking at this weekend to return. So that's good for the Atlanta Hawks and the Minnesota Timberwolves as we layering down the rest of the season. Now we got some results for you from last night. Miami did beat the aforementioned Atlanta Hawks in double overtime down the ATL. The Orlando Magic took a nasty L to the Houston Rockets. Just a nasty L. Just nasty. The Milwaukee Bucks, despite losing Giannis, took down the Boston Celtics 104-91. And then the New York Knicks beat the Chicago Bulls 128-117. But not only that, go out to the West Coast. The Oklahoma City Thunder defended home court against the Sacramento Kings. The Golden State Warriors with a record-setting 26 threes. Draining threes all up and down crypto.com arena by the LeBron and the Lakers is what they was like. Ain't nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do about it. Like, getting the 14-point win that over on the road. And then the other team that's from LA, the Clippers, they went down to the Valley to take on the Phoenix Suns. They got a big dub, 105-92. Now, let's go back to that Milwaukee Bucks Boston game because something interesting happened. Outside of Giannis getting hurt, the Celtics and Bucks combined for a record low 2 free throw attempts. I had to look for it myself, and then the 2 free throw attempts was by Giannis. And he went 1-for-2. That was the only free throw attempts of the game. Like, it was only 12 foul calls. 12 foul calls called in this entire game. They are 48 minutes in an NBA game. And only 12 fouls called in the whole game. Only 2 free throws attempted in the game. I'm trying to figure out what is going on right now. That's just interesting. Like, only 2 foul attempts? Only 2? Like, Jason Tatum was stunned by it. Damian Lillard was stunned by it. Like, I guess they're getting ready for playoff basketball, I'm guessing. This is what we're doing. I mean, because we just, I don't know. I simply do not know, okay? But nevertheless, hey, that's what happened. Maybe this is a prelude to what's going to happen when we get to the NBA playoffs. We're going to let these boys play. They're going to determine themselves what's going to happen. So without further ado, now we got that out the way, let's look at the standings. On the east side, we know the participants. Well, we know who is going to be having a postseason type of game somewhere. Okay, Brooklyn's done, Toronto's done, Charlotte is done, Washington is done, and Detroit is done. But we don't know, only 2 teams we know in the play-in is that Chicago and Atlanta will be facing in the play-in game. That's the 9-10 matchup, and whoever loses that game, their season is done. But we don't know who's going to be the 7th or the 8th seeds because between the 8th seed, who is the Miami Heat, and the 3 seed, which is the New York Knicks, with 3 games left, all those teams are up for grabs from 3 up to 8. So New York is still – so New York, Orlando, Cleveland, Indiana, Philadelphia, and Miami are all fighting for the spots. Rip to lead the 3 and 4 spot, because if you get the 3 and 4 spot, that guarantees you a first round home court advantage.
So that's interesting to see here. But hey, never know. You just never know, okay? That's the East. Let's go to the West. On the West, pretty much the same thing on the West side. Houston's done. Jazz are done. Memphis is done. Portland's done. San Antonio's done. So we already know this. Minnesota will be in the playoffs. Denver will be in the playoffs. OKC will be in the playoffs. The Clippers will be in the playoffs. And the Mavericks will be in the playoffs. But from the Pelicans at 6 all the way down to the Warriors at 10, we don't know. There's literally one spot remaining for a guaranteed playoff spot. That's number 6. And you have the Pelicans, who are up 3 games on the Warriors as of right now. The Warriors are a half a game back of the Lakers, who they just beat. A game back of the Kings, and 2 games back of the Suns. With 3 games left, any of those can switch in those 3 games. So the Pelicans ain't locked in at number 6 and officially in the playoffs. That's going to be an interesting battle. And plus, the interesting battle for number 1 is still up for grabs on the West. Right now, Minnesota has the edge. Denver, the defending champs, are on their ass. And OKC is on their ass, too. So with 3 games left, we're going to find out who gets the 1 seed in the West. And then we'll find out who gets that 6 seed to be in the playoffs and don't have to worry about a play-in. But I can tell you this right now, with the way that it's looking, LeBron James and Steph Curry might be facing a 9-10 game with the loser being out. Then you have De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis against Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker for the 7-8 spot, with the winner getting the 7th spot and in the playoffs, facing the loser number 2. What these? Who? What? These playoffs is going to be something else to watch, okay? These playoffs are going to be interesting, because you're talking about you're going to have a Kevin Durant as a 7 seed, most likely. A LeBron James or a Steph Curry as an 8 seed, most likely. Ooh, they might make it, because the second round of King got something to say about it. Man, look here. We ain't that far away from the playoffs. Matter of fact, when is the play-in, by the fact? Let me go find out when the play-in is. That'll be some good information to share right now. I believe the play-in should be, I think, the 16th, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Yep, the play-in would be the 16th and the begins on the 16th, but I believe the playoffs should begin on the 20th. Yep. So, we're like a week away. We're pretty much a week away from some craziness happening. And speaking of which, key games to look forward tonight. Well, the full schedule for tonight, you got the Memphis Grizzlies at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Atlanta Hawks are hosting Charlotte. Toronto and Brooklyn going at it. Both teams are eliminated. The Dallas Mavericks on ESPN are at Miami. That's a key game for both teams. Orlando, they're in Milwaukee without Giannis playing. So we're going to see if Orlando can take advantage of that. Or when Dame Dollar and Chris Middleton have something to say about that. OKC is hosting Rim Bayana and the San Antonio Spurs. The battle for number 1, I said, well, Minnesota is in Denver. So the winner of that game takes control of number 1. And then the nightcap is the return matchup between Phoenix and the Clippers this time, instead of being in Phoenix, as at Crypto.com Arena in L.A. That's it. All right, so that's all I got for you today. From this point forward, it's the NBA all the way up to the NBA Finals. And then we'll try to throw in some WNBA stuff in there as well, as we get ready for the Olympics this summer. And yes, I will be covering the Olympics. Just like I did for the World Cup this past summer. This summer, I will be covering the Olympics, the both men and females. I believe the females are ready to take gold again. The men, pretty much, they are some of the Avengers. LeBron,
Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, I believe James Harden, Anthony Edwards, Jrue Holiday, Devin Booker. They're pretty much some of the Avengers after what happened in the World Cup. But we'll get that one this time, all right? So thank you for chiming in today. Thank you for watching today with us on Facebook, X, LinkedIn, our YouTube. Follow us on all those platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel when we got content coming for you out of every way. Also, get on our website, theplaymakersblog.com. Catch up with the articles that we were typing up. All every show that we have for not only this, not only from the Playmakers Blog side, but the Barrett Testing side as well, with my boy Elazar Gazar. You catch all our podcasts is there. Of course, and all other podcast directories that you have out there, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that good stuff. But until next time, enjoy your night. I'll be back to talk NBA next week. Catch you later.
You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.